Okay. 240.
Authorize a ground lease, construction, and permanent financing up to $4,045,295 and redevelopment rights with Reach Gateway Senior Housing Limited Partnership, redevelopment rights with Gleason Commons Phase 1 Limited Partnership, and eventual disposition of city-owned property for the final phase of the Gleason Commons redevelopment project.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're here today to talk about or to ask for approval for Phase 2 for Gleason Commons. Gleason Commons is a development of Reach Community Development Corporation in partnership with Human Solutions and Ride Connection, which in total will feature 127 units of affordable housing at Northeast Gleason and 100th Avenue. And it will also have the offices of Ride Connection, which, as I recall, brings in about 40 new jobs into the Gateway area. So these projects will not only provide, as I said, jobs, but much-needed affordable housing, transit options, and social services to lower-income seniors and hardworking households in East Portland. And here to talk more about Gleason Commons is our Housing Bureau Director, Tracy Manning, and Reach CDC, relatively new Chief Executive Officer, Dan Valliere.
Thank you, Commissioner, Council. We will keep it brief. But I do really appreciate these occasions to highlight what I think we do really well, which is work with incredible community partners. And I know you all know Reach and Human Solutions and Ride Connection. It's really highlights some of the best of what we do. They were selected in a competitive process to redevelop this site, and this is the final phase of the project. What I appreciate about working with community-based organizations is that they help us do a better job of listening to the community. So this project is what it is, which is housing for seniors. Because they listened to their new neighbors in East Portland, and what they heard from them was certainly transit-oriented development is important, certainly quality affordable housing is important, but you know, our school districts out here are a little strained, and so perhaps new family housing is not as important to us as keeping seniors in the neighborhoods where they have support, making that housing appropriate for them in terms of the transit access, in terms of the amenities that are being brought to the project, in terms of the accessibility of the units. 16 units are initially designed to be wheelchair accessible, and all of the units are designed to be convertible. That's a very high percentage, even in our affordable housing. And Reach was really responsive to that request from the neighborhood, which I know won't surprise any of you. Reach, I think the one thing I could say that best speaks is they have a national reputation, not just a good reputation around these parts, but a national reputation for the kind of housing they're able to bring and the responsiveness. The commissioner mentioned, but I would also highlight, because it's something I know the neighborhood is particularly excited about, the jobs coming to the Gateway area from the Ride Connection is bringing. And Ride Connection is a relatively new partner for the Housing Bureau, but a very important partner in this project, and one that the neighborhood is quite excited about. The other thing I would highlight before passing it to Dan is about jobs as well. This was a project of R&H Colas Construction, and in phase one of the project, which they also did, they were able to achieve a 32% participation right in MWESB, Minority Women and Emerging Small Businesses, and they expect to at least hit that in part two, which we are all very proud of. Reach has done some really great work with them in that area. And then finally, thanks to, I would be remiss without thanking the staff that makes this happen. So on my team, Javier Armenia, our still relatively new, I'll have to quit introducing him that way soon, Assistant Director, Siobhan Badao, Nate McCoy, Kathy Romero, and thank you to the City Attorney's Office, Linda Law, and thank you so much to our new friend, Dan Valliere, and his team at Reach, Michelle Haynes and Riyad.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I'll be brief too. Thank you to the Housing Bureau for the partnership on this. It's been a long road. And thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for getting it to the finish line here. And then thank you to Commissioner Fish, too, because this one bridges a long period of time. In fact, as I understand it, with Human Solutions, this project, you know, which really started almost 10 years ago. So it kind of shows how projects like this sometimes, you know, take a long time to come together, have to factor in a lot of things, including the community. It does take a lot of risk, too, to get through a process that long, because you have to put a lot of resources out ahead of time sometimes. So we're just grateful to get to this point. It's a big achievement. A lot of people had to pull to make it happen. Excited that it aligns well with the city's goals, too. When I just started last year, I saw the action plan for age-friendly Portland, which the council adopted or supported. I think that's a really interesting development that's aligned with the World Health Organization's age-friendly cities initiative. Important for Portland to be part of that. So this fits well with that, and we're looking carefully at that in general at REACH about how can we align better with those plans, starting with these buildings where, you know, older adults live, and then go from there in terms of how do we tie people to transportation and activities and breaking down isolation. So again, this is exciting because it's teed up to do that. It's right by the Gateway Center. Now, to begin with, ride connections being there is a huge deal because for those who don't know a lot about them, they have a whole suite of supports and services to help people access transit, from actually, you know, special transit relationships, but also even just counseling and helping people understand how to do it. So the fact they're right there is a great thing and really unique. I won't go to any of more details with it unless there's questions, because we could go on and on. But just want to say thank you for the opportunity to do the project, and we will do it well.
Thank you both. Thanks. Questions?
So did REACH choose RNH Colas, or did it go out to bid from the city? How did that piece work?
Yeah, that was a process that, and Human Solutions also used them on their phase. So it was part of that development team. The development teams, Human Solutions and REACH, made those decisions.
So it doesn't come back through the council?
Right.
Right. And what's the equity credit, and how does it work? It's part of the financing is a tax credit equity of about $8.6 million. What is that?
The tax credit equity? Is that what we're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, the 9%.
So that's, and I'm still learning about that myself. So it's low-income housing tax credit, so it's a federal tax credit. It's actually the single largest source of funding for affordable housing in the United States. It's through the IRS. So, yes, the largest source of funding for development of affordable housing, of new, is through the IRS. It's not through HUD. HUD is still huge for subsidies, Section 8, so it's not that HUD doesn't do a lot, but it's an interesting side note. And so the way it's been around since the late 80s, and that drives a lot of the projects that the Housing Bureau is involved with in terms of new construction. So these credits are awarded to projects through the state of Oregon. So this project was awarded credits. Then those credits are sold to investors essentially a bank or whatnot, that needs those credits and can offset their own tax liability. They then provide equity to the project in exchange for those credits. So that's the way it works.
Okay. Bank of America, I think, is your equity.
In this case, it's Bank of America that was selected to do that. And there's a whole RFP and bid process for that selection, too, based on who's going to give the most equity and a few other considerations. But largely, it's, you know, who will give the most equity for the credits.
Mr. Fritz, can I just make a comment? You'll recall during the planning for Gray's Landing, during the teeth of the recession, the tax credit market collapsed. So the value of the tax credit came down so substantially that it created a hole in the financing. So one of the positive things we're celebrating here today is that the tax credit market is now back and robust, and that is one of our most important tools. It was a tool we couldn't use very effectively during the Great Recession.
That's why having our senator on the and in his new and lofty role in setting federal tax policy will be an important relationship. Because if we lose this, not to mention if we lose the deductibility of municipal bonds, then all kinds of problems could rain down on us.
That's a great point. Yeah, we just sent a letter to Senator Wyden on that on that topic. It's an important one.
Yeah, really.
I have another question, and that's about the ground lease. And so we own the property. Is that correct?
We do right now, yes.
But then there's a ground lease that expires in 2111.
So I may have to call on staff for this. We are in a somewhat complicated partitioning phase so that the land can eventually, because we've got two separate owners, it's got to be partitioned, and then we will transfer it to the owners. And I think the intent is to do that well before 2021. But that's what the phase of the lease is for now.
Short-term ground lease, even though it has a long-term.
Yes, yes. But the intent is
for 100 years.
What I don't know the answer to that. I can certainly get back to you.
It's just intrigued. I mean, it's not a principal component on which I
attended one or two meetings, and it was incredibly detailed. And you actually,
A long and tortured history.
Yes, okay. It does. And you actually probably know a piece of it, because I know BDS had to be there too, and it was very complicated. But I am more than happy to get you more.
But the intent is that in a while, that the Human Solutions and REACH will become owners of the whole property.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I really need to know. Thank you.
As soon as possible.
Other questions? Thank you both. Appreciate it. Do we have anyone else signed up?
Lightning requested to speak.
My company is Think Lightning Tank, and my name is Lightning. Interesting point you brought up on that ground lease, because actually it extends out, if I'm correct, for close to 97 years, and they even put in the agreement they've paid that in advance. Now, I really don't know where it says in the agreement that they're planning on buying the land and at what cost. Again, that lease is for $1 per year. Now, as you know, I always kind of have a problem with this $1 for land sales, $1 for lease, tying up properties, no appraisals in hand. This is where I have a concern here, is that I don't want to see $1 leases or $1 land sales.
Lightning, it could be for zero because it's the contribution of the city to the project.
Yes.
But there has to be consideration. Once upon a time, it could be an acorn. Today, it's a dollar, but it has to be some consideration because it's the donation. Well, part of the value that we're giving this nonprofit is the dirt.
I know from the legal standpoint, you have to put $1. I do understand that. But my point is that I think we're giving away too much again. That's where my position is all the time on these issues. What I'd like to see is that, pertaining again to the chronic homeless, is that on these type of agreements, instead of just doing the $1, why don't we do $10,000 per year? It's not a tremendous amount of money. We're dealing with nonprofits and companies here that have a tremendous amount of income. They have a lot of properties out there that they're producing a tremendous amount of rent. I've looked at their financials. I've gone over their numbers. I've gone over their 38 pages of their financials. And my point being is that we need to start making sure that there's a safety net for the chronic homeless that I don't think is going to get into these buildings. And by putting that $10,000 in, you could provide housing for one person for their lifetime. Instead of being so kind at $1, why not look at the chronic homeless and say, we want $10,000. That's a great deal there too. But that's also going to provide housing for one person. We're going to get them off the street. We're going to save probably $30,000 a year. And we want to make sure that there's a safety net put in place to do that. I don't believe that these units are going to put the chronic homeless in there. I don't believe that they're going to be in there. And that's why I'm saying is we need more outreach. We need to stay in contact. We need to implement agreements that provide for their housing. We do a tremendous amount of transactions that we can put that in the agreement. There's nobody that's going to have a big concern if you say, well, what about 10,000 and what about one chronic homeless person being put into housing for the rest of their life? They're going to say, absolutely, we can do it. They have development fees of $1 million+. They have development fees of $500,000+ on these type of projects. $10,000 isn't too out of line. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Then this is an emergency ordinance. Let's take a roll call.
Fritz.
Thank you for the explanations, and thank you for your partnership. Aye.
Fish.
Well, this is a proud day, and I can't resist a couple of comments. First, Dan and Reach. Reach was selected through a competitive process to take over what's now called Gray's Landing, which I believe last year won the top award nationally for an affordable housing development of its kind. And in fact, Ed McNamara, who works for the Mayor Hales, was once, I believe, the executive director of Reach. So it has a great history, and we're proud partners. Second, one of the things I love about this particular development is it meets the number one investment priority of the Portland Housing Bureau, which is providing more rental housing to our most vulnerable families and individuals. And that, I believe, has been and should continue to be the core mission of this bureau. Third, the principal funding source for this project is the 30% set aside. And there have been occasions, even in my 5 years, where people wanted us to either scale that back or revise the income guidelines. And I think each time it has been suggested and we've said no, it's because we want projects like this to be successful. Four, to answer Lightning's concerns, of the 60 units here, 55 are for renters below 60% at MFI, and 4 units are for people below 30%. And so below 30%, to your point, Lightning, could very well be someone who has been chronically homeless. This, as was pointed out, has taken 10 years, and that's because these projects are mind-numbingly complicated. And on this one, because of the land use issues, the partition, the funding, the recession, the politics, it's taken a long time. But the primary reason we're here today is that the smartest people in the business who help navigate these projects from beginning to end work for the Portland Housing Bureau. And so I want to thank the team at the Portland Housing Bureau for delivering once again on a tremendous community win. And as to Commissioner Fritz's point about R&H Colas, just to put that in context, we have as you know from the disparity study, we have a history in our community of minority-owned firms not getting prime contracting jobs. They get the pieces of the pie and the scraps. They don't get the prime contracting jobs. And one of our commitments is to make sure they get more contracting jobs. That's Stevens Creek Crossing, which is about to be brought to conclusion. That's Gleason Commons. And with Mayor Hales' leadership, someday it may be Trader Joe's. And the more prime contracts they get, the bigger their business, and they, in turn, have a record of hiring minority subs. It is a win-win-win for our community. So to the Housing Bureau, to Reach, to our partners, to the financiers, to everyone who put this together, job well done. Thank you for your service. And Commissioner Saltzman, thank you for bringing this home. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you to everybody. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Thanks to Reach. Thanks to the Bureau. And thanks, Commissioner Fish, for his eloquent exposition of the history behind this, which I really appreciated. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, the Reach and the city go back a long way. Ed McNamara, under a different name, was actually the Reach executive director a long time ago, and so I was a board member at that time. So this organization has been doing good in our community for a long time. The deals were complicated then. As has been well stated here, they've gotten even more complicated, but this is a good one. Well done. Aye.